Bible says in regard to the danger of a Christian falling away from the Lord and becoming unfaithful. The Bible clearly teaches the truth of this. Proverbs 16, verse 18, the Bible says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." When we become proud, when we become haughty in our character, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. This is true in regard to material matters. It is equally valid and true in spiritual matters. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall." This warning is pointless if it is impossible for a Christian to fall. Hebrews 3, verse 12, the Bible says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God." What does the writer of Hebrews indicate is possible for a child of God to do? To depart from the living God. Where must one be before they can depart from the living God? Well, one must be in a relationship. One must be connected with God, in a relationship with God. We must indeed emphasize the importance and the Bible teaching of the possibility of apostasy, that it is possible for a child of God to become unfaithful to the Lord. However, equally important to giving emphasis to the possibility of apostasy is the great need of teaching the Bible fact that we can have assurance of our standing before the Lord. Now, there are those out in our religious world will take these precious passages of confidence and assurance to the child of God and somehow pervert them into the impossibility of apostasy. What the Bible teaches in regard to our confidence and our assurance, they turn into nothing more than a license to sin. That is a perversion of Scripture, as we've already seen just from merely three Scriptures, that it is possible for the child of God to fall away. But the child of God can have assurance. Ask yourself or answer this question. If you were to die at this very moment, where would the Lord place you? In heaven or in hell? If the building blew up right now and you died, where would your ultimate destination be? You know, there are many people that are New Testament Christians, have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that would say, "Well, I hope I would be in heaven." Well, I don't know. I don't know if we can really know until we get there. Now, can we? Friends, that ain't what the Bible teaches. By implication and by statement, we can have assurance. We being God's people, we being Christian, we need to recognize that there is a solid ground upon which we can have blessed assurance, as that old song says, a firm, steadfast confidence in our salvation and a firm, steadfast confidence in the hereafter, where we will go on the other side of death's door. Someone says, "Well, now how can we have this assurance?" Well, think with me just briefly these few points. What about we can have blessed assurance because of the unfailing love of God? In many respects, this is the theme of the Bible, is it not? That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, beginning at verse 31, there the Bible says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" What's this saying? That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Reading on, notice what it says. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This passage reminds us of the unfailing love of God. Now, some people would look at this and they would say, but this is teaching the impossibility of apostasy. Indeed not, it is not teaching anything like that. It is true that one can decide to depart from God. This is a statement of God's love for man. True. But it does not say that man cannot choose to depart, to leave God's love, to leave God of his own free will and volition. This passage is teaching the depth and the breadth and the height of God's love for man, but it in no way teaches that man cannot fall away. No, friends, we can have blessed assurance because of the unfailing love of God. And if no other reason, you can look at the cross of Calvary and God giving his precious Son under darkened skies. Well, that's my second point. We can have blessed assurance because of the blood of Christ. You know, if you look at 1 John 1, John here is writing to Christians. And in John 1, verse 5 beginning, there the Bible says, this is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Here, John is pointing out that God is light. God has those qualities, purity, truth, love, like we mentioned, God's word, so forth. There is no darkness at all. We cannot walk in darkness and have fellowship with him. Why? Because God has no darkness, not even one particle. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And notice this, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins. Now notice four things that we see here, or three things that we see here. First of all, we see that it is continuous. The Greek scholars tell us that the word cleanseth in verse 7 is a continuous action word. It keeps on cleansing us. And if you have the King James Version, they give you a little advantage because the words that have E-T-H at the end of them, like cleanseth, believeth, those are the present tense continuous action words. So you can often identify them. They weren't consistent about that. I'll point that out. But oftentimes in the King James Version, if you want to know, is it continuous action, oftentimes they put the E-T-H at the end. So it's talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, continues to cleanse us. And notice, it is not only continuous, it is complete. Well, it cleanses us from just some sins. No, that's not what it says. It says that the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all sin, every type, every sin committed at any time or at any place. It cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. But not only is it continuous and complete, it is certain, it is guaranteed. We can know absolutely that the blood of Christ keeps on cleansing us from all sin as promised. You know, there are some people that will say when it comes to sin that, well, they can reach a point to where they are incapable of sinning anymore. Friends, according to what this passage teaches, they cannot make that claim. To make that claim is to contradict what is being clearly taught here, and you realize to claim that you say, that for a person to say that, well, I cannot sin anymore. Well, one, this talks about the blood of Christ continually cleansing the obedient Christian. But also, in the very denial of saying, the very denial of sinning, do you realize you're adding sin to sin? To deny that you are incapable of sinning, you are sinning in that very denial. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, one is now, the other is past tense. If we say we have not sinned, verse 10, we make him a liar, and his truth is not in us. Our great need is shown by the fact that God has made provision for the continual forgiveness of our sin by the blood of Christ. Do you realize, too, that some people, and it seems to have become rather vogue, some people probably think it is very humble to make the statement that, well, now, you know, we're all just sinners anyway, and these people may be New Testament Christians. Friends, the claim that one is a sinner, do you not realize that that reflects on the efficacy and the power of the blood of Christ? One that makes that claim just as well has said that heaven will be populated with sinners. If not, why not? Was I a sinner at one time? Yes. Was I washed in the blood of the Lamb by obedience to the gospel? True. Do I have moments of sin through weakness of the flesh and those moments when I will have an act of sin? Yes. Yes, if you say you have no sin, the truth is not in you. To deny that you ever sin is a sin in itself. But to say that we are sinners, well, wouldn't it be just as logical to say, well, heaven's going to be populated with sinners too? Well, if not, why not? Because it's the same blood that prepares us for heaven that also provides forgiveness and access to the church here in this life. No, friends. We can have assurance because of the blood of Christ, its power, its efficacy. It will forgive us all sin. What will keep a person out of heaven? Sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's entirely true, and that is right. So, we can have blessed assurance, secondly, because of the blood of Christ. Third, consider with me, we can have blessed assurance because of the promises of God. In Titus 1, verse 2, where the Bible says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. You know, in Hebrews 6, verse 18, the Bible also says it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie because that is contrary to His nature. He will not go against His character or His nature. And the fact that God cannot lie, it is in His nature to always speak the truth. No circumstances can ever occur in which He will depart from His character or nature. It's a foundation of all of our hopes of salvation. We have a hope of heaven. It's based upon the fact that God cannot lie. Now, has God made precious promises contained within the New Testament that we can look forward to? Yes. Can we have assurance towards those in regard to those promises that God has made? Yes. Why? Because God cannot lie. And one thing that we can take assurance on in regard to is the fact that God has promised that He will remember our sins and our iniquities no more. If you look at Hebrews chapter 8, there in Hebrews 8, the Hebrews writer is quoting a passage from Jeremiah. In the passage in Jeremiah, the prophet is prophesying about the new covenant that would replace the old covenant as we know it now, would replace the law of Moses in the fullness of time. And in chapter Hebrews 8, I have 12 on the PowerPoint, but I tell you what, let's start at verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant. What's that? This is going to be under the new covenant. See, this is the Hebrews writer saying this is the fulfillment of the old covenant, that God would make a new covenant in which he would remember mankind's sins and iniquities no more. This is the new covenant he hath made, a new covenant he hath made the first old. So the old covenant was nailed to the cross. We live under a new covenant. Now, the faithful child of God can have the great assurance that our sins and iniquities will be forgiven. Now, what will keep us out of heaven? Sin. Is that where we will have eternal life? Yes, in the hereafter. God has promised eternal life, Titus 1, verse 2. He cannot lie. He will not remember our sins. That is the precious promise of God. Now, while we live in a world where there are those that do not keep their word, what blessed assurance do we have as children of God to know that God will not go back on his word? His word is sure and steadfast, and we can have great assurance because of it. We can have our sin forgiven, and God will remember our sins, iniquities, and iniquities no more. And we can have the hope of eternal life when this life is over. So we can have blessed assurance, friends, thirdly, because of the promises of God. Fourthly, consider with me, we can have blessed assurance because of the power of the Word of God. Where is God's promises contained? Where can people read those promises that God has made to mankind and to children of God contained within the New Testament? The Word of God. That is where the promises of God are revealed. Remember in James chapter 1, verse 21, where the Bible says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness," and the King James says, "superfluity of naughtiness." Well, that's the King James version of a way of saying overflowing of wickedness. So, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." The word of God is powerful. It is quick and sharp. It is able to save our souls. Romans 1 verse 16, you remember, says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That is a passage we often use indicating the salvation that we can have now, that we can have forgiveness of our sin now in this life. True. But does this passage also, by extension, also teach that the faithful child of God can have the assurance of his salvation in the hereafter, that we can have eternal life? True. It is by the Word of God that man is saved. It is by the Word of God that a Christian remains saved. Friends, we need to study it, we need to read it, we need to meditate upon the precious Word of God. That is one means by which we can have assurance. If we choose to neglect it, we are setting ourselves up for failure. We're not going to have the confidence that we should have. We should lay it up in our hearts and let it guide our every action. Do you remember what Paul said in Acts 20, verse 28, and we can read that precious passage and have assurance when he told the Ephesian elders, he said, "Take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the flock of God, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." We have been purchased by the blood of Christ. And we can have hope, we can have assurance, we can have eternal life when this life is over. Reading on after verse 28, I didn't copy enough of that onto the PowerPoint. "To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." That's what I meant to say. We have been purchased with the blood of Christ. We can have assurance based upon the Word of God. That's the point I am trying to make. Now, we can have faith based upon the Word of God, but now, do we just read it and that is it? No. We must be hearers and doers of the Word of God. This is how the promises of God are received. In order to have confidence, in order to have assurance, we have to obey God. In order to make this point, I'm going to refer back to a passage that we made reference to a moment ago. I'm going to replow a little bit of old ground and make a point from it. You remember we read just a few moments ago in 1 John 1 verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin." Previously we pointed out that the cleansing blood of Christ is continuous, yes, is complete, yes, and is certain, true. But notice this. It's also conditional. It's also conditional. It says that Christ had purchased the Ephesian elders with His own blood. How were they purchased with His own blood? We read in Ephesians 1, and that's where I was going with that leading into this, where we read in Acts 19, verse 1 beginning, that Paul meets those Ephesian individuals, there were 12 of them, that had been baptized unto John's baptism, but that was an invalid baptism. He says, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Well, that is not sufficient. So He baptizes them in the name of the Lord. They had to obey God. They had to obey the Word of God in order to have forgiveness. It is conditional. Notice this. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood... we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Back up to a point. What's the promise? The promise is that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, will cleanseth us from all sin. What is the condition? We have to walk in the light as He is in the light. We have to walk in the light of God's love. We have to walk in the light of God's Word. We have to walk in the light of God's truth. That's a requirement for obedience. Friend. Now we have to recognize that walking in the light means direction, not perfection. This passage tells us as long as we're walking in the light of God's love, Word, and truth, the blood of Christ keeps on cleansing us of our sin. Now we recognize that we sin, but if we keep on walking in the light of God's love, of Christ's love and Christ's Word, we will be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Not convinced? What about Revelation 2, verse 10? We often quote that last section, last part of that passage, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life." God, through Christ, is, and through John the Apostle, is encouraging the church at Smyrna to endure the persecution that they are enduring, to hold what you got, remain steadfast, and if you are faithful unto death, I'll give thee a crown of life. What's the promise? Crown of life. That's eternal life. That's what we've been making reference to. But what is the condition? Be thou faithful unto death. That is the condition of their receiving eternal life, is their obedience. Our faithfulness contributes to our blessed assurance. If we are not obeying God, we cannot have assurance. Friends, we cannot have blessed assurance. Child of God can have blessed assurance because of the love of God, because of the blood of Christ, because of the promises of God, because of the power of God's Word, and based upon their obedience. Now, to you that have obeyed the gospel, I got a question, another question for you, like we started. If you knew that Christ was going to come in the next 30 minutes, would you have the assurance to know that you would be found faithful? If not, what is lacking, friends? Brothers and sisters, I should say. If you do not have assurance of where you will end up in the hereafter, if Christ were to come now, if death were to chill the form and seal the lips before we left this building, do you have assurance of where you will be? If not, why not? What's lacking? What do you need? Is there something in your life you need to repent of? Is there something you need the prayers of the saints on your behalf for? Here in just a moment, we're going to sing an invitation song, and that is the opportunity that we extend for those that may need the prayers of the saints to come forward and ask for the prayers of the saints if it is needed. What about those that are outside of Christ? What about those that have never obeyed the gospel? You do not have assurance, friend. Oh, God loves you. Yes. Christ gave His blood for you. Yes. God has given mankind precious promises. Yes. But there's one thing you lackest. Obedience to God and to the will of God and to the Word of God. Remember, the Ephesian elders were told that the church, those saved that are added to the church, were purchased by the blood of Christ. The blood of God, God being deity. You need to obey the gospel this morning that you can have blessed assurance. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Because Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Jesus said that one must repent. Because Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus said that one must confess. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10, verse 32. And Jesus, who cannot lie, said in Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. If you're not obeying Christ, if you're not obeying God, you're not being faithful. And the opposite of that statement is that if you are not faithful, you will not receive a crown of life. We quoted Romans chapter 8. I'm going to close with this verse. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, notice what it says. There is therefore now no condemnation. Wow. What a statement. There is now no condemnation. Oh, we stopped reading too quick. To them that are in Christ Jesus. You know, just previous to this, Paul had said in Romans chapter 6, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried by baptism into death, that Christ is raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. How does one get into Christ? You're baptized into Christ. You walk in newness of life. Your sins are forgiven, just like Jesus said. Mark 16, verse 16. There's no condemnation. Qualified, conditional, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Friend, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you don't have blessed assurance. If you're a child of God and you don't have blessed assurance, as we sing the invitation song, come forward. We will help you every way we can that you can have blessed assurance. Maybe you need the prayers of the brothers and sisters for other matters, whatever your need might be. Come forward as we sing the invitation song to encourage you.
Live for Jesus, oh my brother, His disciple ever be. Render not to any other what alone the Lord should be. Live for Jesus, live for Jesus. Give Him all thou hast to give. On the cross the world's Redeemer gave His life that thou mightst live. Live for Jesus, wandering sinner, under Satan's service. Of the promised prize a winner, thou mayst be when life is o'er. Live for Jesus, live for Jesus, give Him all thou hast to give. On the cross the Lord's morning at the noontime. live.